Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. February 4, 2021. Preparation for the work of the Creator. In order to build a spiritual vessel, we need to collect its shattered fragments and connect them into a single soul. By increasing this connection, we get closer and closer to the form of the Creator who will appear in both quantity and quality within us. This is the actual work and there is nothing else. The upper light is in complete rest, only the vessel is missing. This vessel does not exist in one person, but is created only when we are included in each other, trying to repair all the cracks between us, in order to become as similar as possible to the Creator. The re-establishment of the broken vessel into a single body, attaching to it all its organs, strength, and spiritual qualities is called the revival of the dead. This is only possible through integration between us. In this way, we assemble the image of the Creator, His qualities, as it is written, "You have made me." Then we understand more clearly that there is not a single suitable, ready-made property, desire, or intention in us that can be used for this structure. We cannot use any desire, thought, intention, or quality that we have, because there is nothing perfect, correct, or broken in any of us. All of us are the result of a complete, final shattering arranged by the Creator, and only through connection and integration between us can we find vessels suitable for correction. When we try to connect with our desires, intentions, and thoughts, and we see that we cannot achieve that, then we reveal that only by the Creator becoming our partner can do this work. That is when we really need the Creator, and we do not just cry in advance. The Creator must finish, for us, the work we started. After we have made an effort and discovered the place of His work, recognizing that we cannot integrate with each other by ourselves and need the help of the Creator, we feel a real deficiency for the Creator and turn to Him. Then the Creator, acting from the state of final correction, glues together our cracks, which seemed wrong and not ready, and directs us toward integration and unity. He makes from us one clean which He can be revealed both as the one who does this work and as the one who shows us the essence of the unity, which is Himself. Therefore, there is no need to regret and be ashamed that we do not have not only any correct quality but even a broken one. Even the broken qualities we still need to collect, extracting them from our connection. Only then do we understand that we are completely unable to connect, and even more so to be integrated with each other, and that all this is the work of the Creator. He must make corrections and connect all the cracks. Our work is only to ask Him for it, to demand it, to beg for it. This is our correct partnership. The Creator only needs our desire to connect into one whole in order to reveal Him as a single force. This is our work, our prayer, and our final state. Therefore, it is not a big deal that working in the ten we do not see suitable qualities in us, and cannot imagine the exact place of work. This is how it should be. It happens to everyone. We only have to search for the opportunity to reach this integration between us, and the Creator will make it happen. We do not understand the form of this integration. Our task is only to make all the necessary preparations, and the Creator will finish this work for us, making us a perfect kli. The light that needs to dress into the vessel will also do the correction, as it is written, "I am the first, and I am the last." Everything is done by the Creator. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, February 2, 2021, Mingling, Inclusion. My new article on LinkedIn, The Grand Illusion of the Great Reset. About a week ago, the World Economic Forum gathered in what is known as the Davos Convention, although this year it was online. This year's theme was The Great Reset, a grand plan to save the world, or as the forum describes it, there is an urgent need for global stakeholders to cooperate. To improve the state of the World Economic Forum is starting the Great Reset initiative. The reset will not be a restart, but an installment of a new operating system. Instead of exhausting our energy climbing the social ladder, we will be energized every time we make new connections. Our hearts will open to each other, and as we strengthen our bonds, our efforts will reward us with even more vigor than we had spent building new ties, since the ties themselves will vitalize us, just as you never feel tired among good friends. Many things are included in this plan, with the formal aim being, of course, to save the world economy. But in light of the growing distrust between the general public and the big tech, entrepreneurs, and money moguls who hold the keys to our economies, people are concerned about their future. They do not trust that these tycoons will have their independence, freedom, or even livelihood in mind. Personally, I don't believe that people will go hungry or that their property will be taken away in one form or another. Such a process cannot happen unless people want and embrace it, after a long and thorough educational process, and when they are confident that they will benefit from it. Otherwise, it will not work, just as it didn't work in Soviet Russia. It is not that I attribute any moral merit to the money moguls and world leaders at the Davos Convention, it's just that I think that the whole idea is impractical. Even a lower level of sharing, such as the European market, has failed, so such initiatives don't deserve a second thought. That is, its advocates will get a few billion dollars to draw their plans and implement them, but nothing will happen other than blowing away the money. COVID-19, the official reason for initiating the Great Reset Project, really has changed us, and will continue to change us. However, it will not change us, the way Davos goers envision. I believe we will continue to have the basic needs of life as far as food and shelter go, but everything else will change. Money and power, which are now people's highest aspirations, will lose their shine. Academic degrees, which people so cherished until very recently, will seem pointless to pursue. Humanity will go through profound reckoning and goals that people held high until the arrival of COVID will dim out and seem dull and pointless. The reset will happen not in people's material life, but in their hearts. They will have food, but life will be tasteless. Fashion, accessories, fancy cars and expensive houses, travel, sports events and restaurants, everything that defines what we call good living will taste like sand. This is when the Great Reset will begin. When material life dims, spiritual life will begin to shine. And by spiritual life, I mean the life that exists between us, in our heart-to-heart connections. Only when the superficial loses its glitz, we will realize that we miss each other, that we want and need other people's company and support. This is when we will begin to develop true relationships, true friendships, and a beautiful world will open for us. The reset will not be a restart, but an installment of a new operating system. Instead of exhausting our energy climbing the social ladder, we will be energized every time we make new connections. Our hearts will open to each other, and as we strengthen our bonds, our efforts will reward us with even more vigor than we had spent building new ties, since the ties themselves will vitalize us, just as you never feel tired among good friends. We shouldn't fear the loss of old visions. They were illusions. The real life waits after we give up our false hopes. Only then, food will be abundant and life will be tasty. My new article on LinkedIn, from physical to virtual to spiritual connections. The world has been in a virtual, or semi-virtual state for about a year already, and connections between people have become largely virtual. Now, thanks to new strains of COVID, borders are closing and airports are shutting down once again. It seems as though physical ties are taking less and less space, and humanity is driven to a new form of communication. When we connect in this new way, we will discover that just as our physical connections have been driven by the desire to benefit ourselves through our connections with others, our emotional connections are driven by the desire to benefit others through our connections with them. These desires to benefit others create such powerful mutual connections that the network they form is in fact shatterproof. We should not take this lightly. This is not some ephemeral episode, but a profound and permanent phase in human development that we are just beginning. It is an opportunity that nature has given us, to rise to a higher, more internal level of connection. The physical connections we still see are very tense and negative, and often even aggressive. Think of all the protests we have seen over the past 9 months, the looting of stores, burning of property, riots and demonstrations everywhere, and finally the storming of the Capitol building. And it's not just in America, in Israel, too, riots and protests have been growing increasingly violent and aggressive, as they've ever been in Europe, and recently even in Russia. Conversely, communication through the internet is very passive, neutral, and almost devoid of anger. It is clearly not the ideal way to communicate, but in the absence of ability to communicate positively on the physical level, the virtual option is the next best thing. However, virtual connection is not the end goal, it is an intermediary phase to a more internal connection. Once we have cleared out the physical aggression, we can begin to connect on the level of emotions. And not just with kin or with friends, but with everyone. To build a working society today, you must create at least some level of affinity with all the members of society. Otherwise, it will fall apart, as we have seen throughout the world this past year. We might think that we can overcome the coronavirus, find some vaccine that will eliminate the bug, but even the pharmaceutical companies developing the vaccines don't promise absolute success. They know it's much trickier than that. We can already see that the virus has partially outsmarted existing vaccines that have just come out, and it is constantly mutating, adapting itself to our attempts to kill it. The bottom line is, we stand no chance against it. However, we can circumvent the problem and tackle the virus where it can't harm us. If we stay virtual but start connecting internally, with our feelings rather than with our bodies, we will both defeat the virus and heal the social ills of our time in one go. When we achieve this, we will also see that this is where the virus was directing us. From day one. Until the appearance of COVID-19, our minds were fixed on one form of connection. That is, we communicated virtually, as well, but physical contact was always regarded as more substantive and meaningful. At best, the virtual connection was a preparatory connection for the physical one. In the absence of the physical option, the virtual connection became all the connection we had, and that is far from enough. This deficiency is directing us, against our will, to search for a more meaningful connection, to sort of reconstruct the depth of the physical connection but without the physical aspect of it. This will force us to seek ways to connect in our emotions, and this is the whole idea. If we work on this new connection long enough and hard enough, we will achieve it. When we do, we will discover that this is not a new form of connection, but that all of reality has been connected on this level all along, and the sense of eureka is only from our perspective. We will find that we have been blind to the deepest, richest dimension of reality, to the root from which everything stems, the connection among all the parts. When we connect in this new way, we will discover that just as our physical connections have been driven by the desire to benefit ourselves through our connections with others, our emotional connections are driven by the desire to benefit others through our connections with them. These desires to benefit others create such powerful mutual connections that the network they form is in fact shatterproof. Once we tap into it, we will never want to return to our old, superficial, and corrupt connections of exploitation and misery. We will discover that the world around us is harmonious, balanced, and provides for everyone abundantly. We will find that all we need in order to learn anything at all is to tap into this worldwide web of invisible strings that sustains us, and all the information will be readily available. This is the reason we are being pushed from the physical level to the virtual level, so as to finally arrive at the spiritual level of life and of all of reality. the thorny path to love. Usually we feel either distance, resistance, the egoism between us, or attraction to each other and a desire to get closer. But to feel both sensations at the same time, both separation and connection, is a great art, which can be achieved only on the spiritual path. This is how a skilled cook adds special spices to the food. In a sweet dish, a drop of bitterness is added, to emphasize the sweetness of the cake. It is soaked in cognac. We are not able to feel only one side, we perceive everything from its opposite, as the advantage of light from darkness. Small children usually love only one thing, only sweets. And when they grow up, they already want to feel two opposites together, so they like spicy and salty food. It is the same in our lives. If everything goes well and smoothly, only love without any problems and quarrels, then we are missing something, as if there is nothing to cling to if there are no quarrels and clarifications. You should always add a little bitter to the sweet to emphasize the sweetness of sweet. This is how we are built. It comes from the foundation of creation, from us, being opposite to the Creator. Therefore, in order to feel Him, we also need to feel ourselves and along with ourselves, Him. Otherwise, we will not be able to feel anything. We do not feel anything outside of ourselves, but only if the qualities of the Creator enter into us, and create this contradiction between the qualities of the Creator and the creation, as it is said, God has made them one opposite the other. Therefore, the principle applies. Love will cover all crimes. On the way to achieving love, the goal of our development and correction, we must reveal all the sins prepared for us by the Creator in order to be able to attain perfect love. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 29, 2021, love covers all transgressions. The pulse of spiritual life. We should evaluate any state only from the point of view of the connection or disconnection between the friends in the ten and as internally as possible. This will help us advance faster toward our goal. If we are constantly checking how close or how distanced we are from the friends, we will very quickly discover the attitude of the Creator toward us, and the way He is teaching us the foundations of the connection that we have to acquire in order to return to the single soul of Adam HaRishon. From there, we will understand that everything that happens in the world depends only on the connection between us, and that only through the connection between us, is it possible to correct the world. The more control we give to the Creator through our connection, the better the world will become. Then we will begin to connect between the tens, ten tens together, 100. A million. But they will be felt in us, as a single ten. We will discover that the Creator always exists between us, either with greater concealment or greater revelation. And this way we will feel this beating of the pulse of spiritual life, a constant contraction and expansion, advancing more and more toward unity between us, and toward connection with the Creator. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, January 29, 2021, love covers all transgressions. There is no evil in the world, only correction. All bitter feelings must be perceived purposefully, relative to the group and the Creator, in order to rise above them. Therefore, I do not see any evil in what is happening in the world. Nothing harmful. All the troubles and misfortunes that exist in reality were created during the shattering of the desires and their fall. And now, when it is their turn to correct themselves, they rise from the depths to which they have fallen and demand correction. Therefore, their revelation should cause us joy. Of course, they burden the heart and cause pain, but they lead to the light of the day. Therefore, I should be glad that bad thoughts, states, qualities, and egoistic desires are revealed in me. If they have appeared in me, then I can correct them and rise above them. They are all already prepared from the moment of the shattering of the common soul of Adam HaRishon, so any broken state that requires correction should bring us joy. It all depends on the connection between us, Whether we are ready to pick up those broken desires that have appeared in us, attach them to ourselves, and correct them. The Creator raises them to us. We only need to take them and, by connecting with Him, pray that He will help us to hold them together in the center of the ten and raise this broken Kli in prayer to the Creator. In response, the upper light will come and correct this part of the vessel and shine in it. Thus, we will rise to the spiritual level. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah Lesson, January 29, 2021, love covers all transgressions. How to raise a confident child. Comment: Russian psychologist Mikhail Labkovsky gives 5 tips to parents for raising a confident child. First is, be generous with praise, but praise correctly. Not "you're the best, look how beautiful you are," not like your classmates. Your message should be that the child is wonderful because it's him or her, not because he or she is the best of the best. My response: that's right. Of course, we should not instill the idea of superiority over others in a child. Rather, the child should feel that he is worth something on his own, and not that he is better than others. That he should be big, great, confident, kind, and so on. Question: so you should not compare him with others and not even touch his eye? Answer: yes. Standards should be abstract, not superiority over others. Comment: I was motivated every time when I was told, "Look how cool Sasha is in that class." You can do the same. Come on. We encourage children this way. What's wrong with that? I do not understand. My response: this turns a person into an egoist. Competitions are good when they make a person better than others for the benefit of others. This type of competition, however, is only for suppressing others. Question: do I involuntarily start thinking about suppressing this Sasha? Answer: yes. Why should I become better than him? I'd rather belittle him, and that way I won't have to do anything with myself. Question: is this a natural response of egoism? Answer: yes. I need to show the child that it is necessary to work on yourself to be better, and do not suppress someone else in order to be above him. Comment: the second advice is, if a child committed an offense, do not speak about the child, but about the deed. The act is bad, and the child is good. I hope you have already thrown words like crooked, stupid, and shameless out of your vocabulary. Answer: this is a big problem for many parents who roughly point out that the child cannot do anything, that he is worthless. This deprives him of a sense of confidence, security, and inner possibility. It is very important to keep this in a child. Many of us are guilty of this. We put pressure on the child, tell him, "You're not worth anything, watch how it should be done. Why can't you?" And so on. That is, we make him an absolutely insecure little man. He grows up in this way and all his life cannot get rid of this. Question: but what if he, for example, commits a bad deed? Answer: smooth it over. You did this incorrectly, in the wrong way. Maybe you could not do it differently. See now how it can be done differently, so that he can learn from it and still have confidence. Question: that is, not to touch the child and his little eye. Is the main principle not to touch the eye? Answer: yes. We have people exactly like that living on our planet, without inner confidence, killed by their parents, people who have been deprived since childhood. In order to somehow defend themselves, they make problems, wanting to rise at least a little above everyone. However, they don't know how to do this in order to feel normal. For this, they must suppress others, destroy others, and so on. If you take anyone who kills, tortures others, runs some gang, you will see why this happened to him. You will look into his childhood and see how he was disfigured in the same way. Comment: the third advice, never compare him with anyone, even if the comparison is in his favor. This is the direct path to narcissism. And narcissism is the destruction to the base of self-esteem. That is, self-esteem is destroyed to the ground. The child risks growing up as a person who always compares himself to others and will suffer that someone is better than him. My response, yes. However, we still need to make sure that the child has an idea of what perfection is. And he must somehow evaluate himself relative to this perfection. Question: is it necessary to give the child some kind of standard? Answer: yes, but not in relation to others. The standard should not be a person, but a quality. Question: how can you explain the quality to which he should aspire? Answer: once it was done with the help of some gods or great heroes. However, such examples can be in something specific, particular, no more than that. Question: should it be a quality? For example, how you used to love then, so we should come to the same love. Answer: yes. Comment: the fourth tip, praise the child not for the result, but for the courage and effort, for the fact that he was not afraid and performed, tried by himself in the competition, made an effort, did his best. This will teach him to support himself in the future. And, by the way, it will greatly contribute to his success in adult life. My response: yes, it is necessary to support the child and inspire him. Regardless of his success, he should feel that you are behind him and confident in him, and do not require anything more from him than just his diligence, effort. Question: that is, we should not say, you did well, you got the first place, what a beautiful medal, right? Answer: yes. Do not do that. Absolutely not. It is necessary that he was self-sufficient and happy in his actions. Comment: but we are proud of medals. Answer: that is our society, such a narrow, egoistic one that plays all people against each other, raises competition to such levels that a person devotes his whole life and health to this. And what is the result? We see that this does not bring happiness to anyone. Question: does it mean that if a child talks about his victory, then the main thing for him should be how much effort he put in, how he trained for this? Answer: of course. Otherwise, he will take drugs and win only with their help. This is what egoism turns each of us into. Comment: this, by the way, is a very accurate comment. All these anabolic steroids, drugs, and everything. It is already impossible to watch sports, everything is clear there. Now there is a problem of how to hide the drug, not how not to take it. My response: yes. The main thing for them is achievement in comparison to others. Except for group sports. Group sports are relatively attractive. Question: is it because there is a team victory there? Answer: yes. A single eye is blurred among many others, and in general, the opposition of one to another is not the same as one-on-one opposition. Question: what about the fact that some player still stands out? For example, Messi or someone else. Answer: this is bad. After all, the team won. But still, at least in this way. Comment: the fifth and most important advice, you yourself have to have self-confidence. Parents often write to me, I do everything right, praise, support, but the child shows insecurity all the time. Of course, each specific case should be analyzed separately, but if you really do everything for the confidence of your child and he has zero self-esteem, this is what is called a wake-up call to the parents. My response: we still have to show the child in any case our trust in him, our love for him, and that we accept him as he is. The most important thing is not to destroy, not to level his eye, and not to demand from him any great victories and achievements. Only in this case can you make him a confident, normal person. Question: why does a psychologist start this way, you yourself have to have self-confidence? Answer: because you are trying to embody in the child what you have not achieved yourself. Question: won't it work out even if I play in front of him? Answer: number question: do you have self-confidence? Answer: no. An absolutely confident person is just an idiot. He must be at the level of a stone. However, I am confident that I am not confident, but I can do what I have to believe in. Comment: this is not easy. My response: no one says that this can be achieved. But we should aspire for this. Life is about aspiration. Comment: in general, this whole path is in uncertainty in the transition to confidence and again uncertainty. My response: the whole path is in the uncertainty of whether you relate yourself to the absolute. This is your confidence. So, there is nothing scary here. There is an upper force, you have to know how you can position yourself in relation to it, and then you gain complete confidence. Not in yourself, but in the fact that you are going with him. Question: that your compass keeps this direction all the time? Answer: of course. Then everything is very simple. You hold on like a little one to the big one's hand. Comment: to the teacher. My response: yes. Question: what if you are constantly shifted to the left or to the right? Answer: it is on purpose so that you hold on to him more tightly, so that you can see where you are going with him and thus learn. You are shifted relative to him, and you must hold on tighter and align your path with him, behind him. In this way, you learn both from the vicissitudes of fate and from his reaction to that fate. Question: is this path by reason or by faith above reason? Answer: this path is by the adhesion with the upper. He shows you two lines and you have to walk between them. From CabTV's News with Dr. Michael Lateman, September 3, 2020. Michael Lateman, on Quora: if spirituality is a lifelong journey, how does one know whether or not they have made progress? Spirituality is a quality of love, bestowal and positive connection that becomes revealed in our connection as a single soul. By contrast, corporeality is a quality of reception and characterizes the perception we have in this world. Therefore, spiritual progress requires a method of connecting to each other where we discover our eternal and perfect interconnection as a single soul above our corporeal state of transience and detachment in this world. Spiritual progress thus becomes revealed after we try to resemble its purely altruistic connections in connection among each other, and we discover our opposition to spirituality, that we are egoistic, and constantly want to receive self-aimed fulfillment. We feel such oppositeness as a crime that we need to detach from and rise above. Moreover, our corporeal quality remains with us, as a foundation upon which we elevate ourselves into spirituality. As such, time and again, we increasingly feel this clash of qualities the more that we try to spiritually progress. Therefore, by engaging ourselves in a supportive environment of fellow spiritual seekers who wish to attain spirituality, and applying the method of connection, the wisdom of Kabbalah, which lets us attract the forces of love and bestowal from our spiritual root as one soul, then we eventually discover how indifferent we are to each other, and afterward we feel rejection to each other and see all kinds of negative qualities in others. Such revelations are in fact positive signs of spiritual progress, where the spiritual forces of love and bestowal, called lights, that we attract reveal the distance between us, the extent to which we are opposite and different from our spiritual state as a single soul, and from that revelation of oppositeness, we can start establishing a spiritual form of connection with each other and spiritually progress. Spiritual progress is thus felt as an increasing need and yearning to positively connect with others. And when do we know that we need positive spiritual connection with others? It is when we know the extent to which we reject each other, do not want each other, and have all kinds of complaints about each other. At this juncture, we can say that the breaking of the soul starts revealing, that is, the point where we originally detached from our perception and sensation as a single soul, where we all functioned as parts of a greater whole, and thus felt the eternal life of that whole. The coarse desire that detached us then becomes revealed, and we have work to not cancel or revoke that desire, but above it, start building connection, so that the spiritual connection that we build will not neutralize the rejection between us, but that they will exist together. Spiritual progress is thus a process of increasing wisdom and inner growth where we mature in our understanding and ability to hold on to two opposite states together, that reception and bestowal, egoism and altruism, hatred and love, will live among us, and we relate to every negative quality that surfaces in us, as a foundation upon which to apply increasing yearning for love, bestowal and positive connection upon it. This is the meaning of one recites a blessing for the bad that befalls him just as he does for the good, Mashahet Berakot 9:3, because all bad and good surface only for us, to reveal more and more positive connection between us, and ultimately, to discover our connection as a single soul in contact with the force of love, bestowal and connection, called the Creator, that vitalizes us. The outcome of this spiritual progress is the sensation of eternity, perfection and truth, which in the wisdom of Kabbalah is called the revelation of the Creator to His created beings in this world, Kabbalist Yehuda Ashlag, Baal HaSulam, the essence of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Based on the daily Kabbalah lesson with Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman on January 28, 2021. Written, edited by students of Kabbalist Dr. Michael Leitman. Correct yourself and you will not suffer. Question, in one of your lectures you said that suffering is remoteness from the Creator, from the light. Correct yourself, and you will not be suffering. And in another lecture, the opposite, the brightest and the best people suffer the most. Can we possibly find the logic here? Answer, yes, we can. The fact is that the one who knows how to use egoism wins. And the great ones suffer because they try to reach out to ordinary people and raise them. And those, unfortunately, are deaf. And so it happens. From Kab TV's Ask the Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. Under the influence of the upper light. Question, Kabbalah teaches that it is possible to summon the upper force through my desire. Is it any desire or a special one? Answer, the upper force forms the attribute of Bina, faith above reason, in us. A spiritual attribute of bestowal that turns into love for one's neighbor. These are totally altruistic categories that are not typical of our world and which can only be summoned by the influence of the upper light. The upper light is drawn by different actions in the group, in the study, and by everything that the wisdom of Kabbalah teaches us, as means of receiving the properties of the upper. If a person acquires the attribute of bestowal, he or she enters a certain area of sensations called the upper world and feels the forces that cooperate between each other and with them, and one begins to understand these forces. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah engages in. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, December 23, 2018. Positive pride question, is self-love pride? Answer, self-love is not even pride. It is simply egoism. Pride is when man extracts something from himself and believes that this elevates him above others. Question, can I be proud of overcoming my nature, my natural attributes? Let's say I acquire strength thanks to my efforts in the group. So I am proud that I have the strength to raise the importance of the friends and of the goal, right? Answer, if it is about the importance of the friend, the importance of the goal, the importance of the Creator, that is, everything that leads us to the purpose of creation, then, of course, it is positive pride. Precisely about it it was written, and his heart was high in the ways of the Lord. From Kab TV's Spiritual States, April 22, 2019. Natural antisemitism. Question, what is natural antisemitism? Answer, natural antisemitism is what exists in the peoples of the world today. They subconsciously hate the Jews because they have a method of connection and are not revealing it to the world because they do not know it themselves. The Jews cannot even imagine what is hidden in them, and therefore they are perplexed why they have been hated for so many millennia, from the times of ancient Babylon. This phenomenon is already 3,500 years old. The peoples of the world, in general, also do not understand why they should hate the Jews. Whether the Jews are poor or rich, talented or cornered, they are hated always. Each time they are beaten for something else, but there always is some reason. The problem is that neither one nor the others, neither the nations of the world nor the Jews, know what the cause of antisemitism is. We need to reveal this. Kabbalah talks about this, but people are still unwilling to listen. This is very difficult to take in. However, we are trying to explain in any possible way. From Kab TV's Ask a Kabbalist, March 20, 2019. How does providence develop us? Question: You claim that we have no free will, that we are puppets in the hands of the Creator, so how can we develop the point in the heart? Answer: How does a baby develop even though he does not know anything about his development and does not ask about it? He does something, breaks something, runs about, and this is how he grows. It is the same with us. We have been placed in a room with 9 friends and now let's develop together. It does not matter whether you run around like kids from one corner of the room to another or whether you play ball or play with building blocks, actions that are seemingly unimportant. These actions, however, are not worthless. This is how providence develops children. Imagine that we too, when we come to such a group of kids in the tent and engage in seemingly silly actions, we will begin to develop. But we will not under different conditions. From Kab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, November 25, 2018. Pharaoh, the basis of egoistic nature. Question: What is Pharaoh that is constantly changing? First, he is good, then he is bad. What is this force? Answer: In principle, he is neither good nor bad. Pharaoh is the basis of our egoistic nature. If we work for its sake, then naturally he is good, and if we work against it, then he is bad. Pharaoh is sort of our common egoism, its core, the desire to receive, to enjoy, to use everything that is around me for my own benefit. Question: Is this not just the will to receive? Answer: No. Pharaoh is precisely the egoistic intention of everything for my own sake. From Kab TV's Spiritual States, April 15, 2019.